I'm going to talk to you about shared use policies today, school practices and adolescent physical activity using national data that we have. First, I have no relationships to disclose. And I want to just acknowledge my co-authors. I have Yvonne Terry McElrath, who is at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan, and she actually conducted all of the statistical analyses on this study. And when you see them, you'll see that she is an invaluable member of this team because these models were pretty complicated. And Jamie Shrieky, you will also be hearing her. She's the last presentation in this session. Frank Chalupka, who's also at UIC, and then Lloyd Johnston at the Institute for Social Research. And the outcome data that we're using for the study comes from the Monitoring the Future survey, and Lloyd is the PI on that study. The project has also been funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through the Bridging the Gap research study, and then for Monitoring the Future, it's funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on shared use policies. I'm going to talk about the construction of the different shared use policy scales that we constructed and related measures, and then I will tell you what we found. I think I can probably skip much on physical activity current statistics, but we're looking at adolescents, high school students in this study, so I thought this slide was just a little bit important because it just shows how we find decreasing levels of physical activity over time. But I'm not really going to go into a lot of detail about the benefits of physical activity because I know everyone in this room already knows them, right? But you may not know about shared use agreements or shared use policies or joint use agreements, which are a way to increase opportunities for children and adults to be more physically active. It usually refers to two or more entities, and most of the time it's between schools and a city or other private organization, and about sharing indoor and outdoor spaces like gyms or athletic fields and playgrounds. And normally it's between schools because a lot of the time it's providing shared use of those school facilities. It does not always have to be schools, but specifically in the analysis I'm talking about, it is. And a lot of the time, these are becoming a very important policy tool for resource poor neighborhoods. I mean, neighborhoods that may not have access to a lot of parks or other types of physical activity facilities. One way to try and account for that is to open up school grounds either before or after school hours so that they become a resource to the community, not just to schools. So we've looked at these policies across the country in our national samples of communities, and what we found is that in general most schools actually most school districts had a joint or shared use policy already on the books. But what we found is that these policies lacked a lot of specificity in how they specified how the school grounds could be used, either the spaces within the schools themselves could be used, or what time of day and what groups could use them. So we put together this study. It was published last year in Preventive Medicine, and what we found is that in general, the shared use policies in physical activity and sedentary behavior, we found some supporting evidence that more specific shared use policies were modestly associated with more frequent engagement and vigorous exercise. When we looked a little bit closer at the policies themselves, some of the specific provisions were that you could indicate, such as what times the school facilities were available for use. This was specifically associated with vigorous exercise. And in general, our results suggested that there's really more research that's needed to examine the existence of shared use policies in conjunction with measures of implementation within the schools themselves to determine their collective influence on physical activity and sedentary behaviors. So we wanted to conduct a follow-up study to this. And so we wanted to look at the school level implementation. So the purpose of this study was to examine the association between these school district level shared use policies, school level implementation of those policies, and then look at adolescent physical activity. I'm not presenting on sedentary behavior. Sorry about that. So we have a couple of different hypotheses that we wanted to examine. One is we think that more specific shared use policies will be associated with increased school level implementation of shared use policies. We also thought that the association between more specific level school district policies and school level implementation of those policies would be moderated by student and or school level socio-demographic and built environments. And then finally, we thought the association between more specific school district level shared use policies and physical activity would be mediated by school level shared use policy implementation. So we used data from three different sources. One is the Monitoring the Future survey, which is a nationally representative cross-sectional sample of 10th and 12th grade students in public high schools. For this analysis, it's 2,230 10th and 12th grade students. The data were collected in 2012. We have self-reported information on school-level implementation of shared use policies, reported by school administrators, which are usually the school principal in the same schools where those students are attending. And then we also looked at our on-the-books school district level shared use policies that we collected and we coded independently. And I'll go over all the different components that and provisions that we look that we capture in a minute. And then we conducted these multi-level mediation analyses to examine the different associations and really test out our hypotheses. And we controlled for a number of student and school level factors, gender, race, ethnicity, grade level, parental education to serve as a proxy for student level socioeconomic status. There's a measure where we control for students' perception of feeling safe going to and from school. We included some shared use policies on liability and repair responsibility, and then school characteristics such as the total number of physical activity facilities that they had available, the number of total students enrolled in those schools, and also the percentage of students that participate in intramural and interscholastic sports. So we constructed numerous shared use policy scales. We looked at whether or not the school is given priority for use over other groups, as well as if different community groups are given priority. And so we constructed separate scales for them. So we have a priority school full scale that includes information on when the schools are available to be used outside of school hours, as well as which facilities within the school, so different spaces within the school are also designated as being allowed to be used within the policies. So we have a separate scale for time only, spaces only, and then the full scale. And so then we did the same with our community groups. So if community groups are given priority, we have a full community scale with all the provisions in it, as well as separate ones just looking at time and looking at spaces. And then we also, as I had said before, we controlled for liability and responsibility measures. So we also captured information from the school district level policies that indicated whether or not the facilities are accessible during times that do not interfere with other school business or activities. Then who is responsible for property repair, if the policies identified a method for property repair, if the policies included a liability clause, if they, like example, proof of liability insurance is required, and also included risk of loss section. So basically it frees the district of responsibility or liability if any loss or damage occurs when other people are using their properties. So we also then have a measure of it's self-reported physical activity that is provided by the students, how many days were they physically active for 60 minutes or more, and then from the school administrators we have the practices, our implementation measures, which first they're asked, are outside groups allowed to use the school facilities? If so, are they allowed to use indoor facilities? Are they allowed to use outdoor facilities? And then what types of groups are allowed to use them? So is it school-sponsored or school-affiliated groups? Or is it more community-based groups like Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs, Park and Rec departments? So in general, our high school students said that they are they're physically active for 60 minutes or more on about 4 out of 7 days a week. And for our scales, which range anywhere from 0 to 9, we have varying means here. The ones that I'll be talking about are the full school scale, which has a mean of about 5 out of a potential 9 categories, and the full community scale, which had an average score of 4 across our communities, and it had up to 8 potential provisions in it. And in general, as you see here, for our school level practices, they're very, very high. Outside groups were allowed to use the school facilities. This was reported by 93% of our principals. So in general, we found almost no variation in these measures. So this is our analytic model, our mediation model, and what this shows here is we see that we're looking at our shared use practice has a direct effect on the student physical activity. Our shared use policy has a direct effect on physical activity, but we also are looking to see if we have a mediating effect, if the policy is potentially working through implementation indirectly to have an effect on student level exercise. And then we also think that there's going to be a correlation between the number of facilities that are available in the school for physical activity use and the practice itself. So basically, we would think that we would see higher rates of implementation in school practices if they have a higher number of facilities. If there really are few facilities, they're probably not going to really allow a whole lot of groups to come in and use the facilities. And so I talked about all those different implementation practices that we have, all those different policies we have. We ran models on every combination that we could, and I'm presenting two. So for looking at our full shared use policy scale, where it prioritized school activities, and what we find is that if you specify that school groups have priority to use the facilities, that was significantly associated with increased students reporting more days of physical activity. We also found that when the school implemented facility use where they prioritized school groups using it, we found, again, an association with increased days of physical activity by youth. We found no mediating effects, and we found no relationship between increased provisions in our policies and implementation. We also did find a positive correlation with between the number of facilities available in the school with our school level practices. But again, we found no association between the number of facilities available in the school and physical activity levels. So then when we looked at use by where community groups were prioritized, again, there we found no association between our policies and increased exercise by the kids. But we did, when the school prioritized use of indoor facilities by outside organizations, there we found a positive association with increased days of exercise. And again, we found a positive correlation with outside organizations being allowed to use the facilities with the number of facilities available. We also found similar results for these models when we looked at our full school policy scale, our school and community time policy scales as well. And they were very, all of the betas were very similar in those results. So in general, we did find that daily student physical activity of 60 minutes or more was significantly and positively associated with schools allowing school-sponsored or school-affiliated groups to use the school facilities, and organizations being allowed to, and organizations having the ability to use indoor facilities. We also found that a higher specificity of the district school use policies designating schools as priority users was associated with increased daily student physical activity, but not district policies designating recreational-oriented community organizations having priority use. And then again, we found no association between the district policies and reported school-level practices, although with all the schools basically saying that they already practice shared use, there wasn't much variation there to look at. We did run similar analyses for middle school students, and we found absolutely no significant results. We did want to examine the differences between our schools that did not have any school shared use practices and some sociodemographic variables that we had, and what we found at the high school level, that the schools that actually allowed outside organizations access, they were significantly more likely to have a higher number of facilities. That was the only thing that was significant there. For the middle school level, they were significantly more likely to have a higher percentage of boys in varsity sports. They had a higher number of students who perceived it being safe to walk to and from school, and they also had a higher percent Hispanic student population. So in conclusion, the lack of association between district policy and school practice may be related to the fact, again, that nearly all students attended schools that allowed shared use of facilities. This is a limitation of the study. It comes from self-reported data, and it's kind of similar to what we heard before with daycare, where when you have self-report, you might have higher percentages of of practices reported, and so it might be useful to, you know, to try and objectively collect some of these measures rather than just get the self-reports from the principals. So more research is definitely needed to examine this disconnect. And future research that we're also working on is actually looking at county and municipal shared use agreements with local public school facilities and physical activity, and that's something that we're hoping is another area for shared use to examine. And that's it. Thank you.